All right, moving on. All right, I'm going to finish mine up here.
Pause for station identification.
Exactly. All right, on your fate stamp 1271 and 1275, that is the list of the state board's performance targets that we're required to identify each year and then measure our performance throughout the year. So you have in your packet both the performance targets for fiscal year 14-15 as well as the fiscal year that we're in right now. So you can see kind of where we're at in terms of what's been completed to date on page 12-75. This just highlights the fiscal year 14-15, where we did meet or exceed most of our targets. We do a good job on our inspections. There was 209 inspections targeted. We actually completed 271. We probably got out to more construction sites than we had anticipated because of the drought and the weather, and also wanting to be prepared for El Nino in the fall. So we did a little extra push there, and then. We sometimes struggle with getting our permits met, so we identified 13 permits we wanted to accomplish, and we only got 9 of those done. And that's generally due to waiting on CEQA to be completed, the discharger maybe have incomplete information is generally why we haven't been able to meet our targets. So we're trying to be a little more realistic in the future about setting those. And then we're making good progress on our case closures for our underground tanks. So each year, we're required at this time of year to start identifying, again, those targets, which is one of the challenges of and being able to anticipate everything that might be coming at us over the next 12 months. But we basically look at the funding in each of those programs, what we're required to do. You know, and we ask the staff to identify what they know is needed. And a lot of those needs come from the permit applications and environmental documents where we can see what kinds of new projects are coming in or requests for revisions of permits. But also, staff is good at identifying needs associated with, say, violations or things like that where someone may need a time schedule order or a new permit to, require additional treatment or things like that. And as Patty mentioned earlier, we have to prioritize. Then based on those basic ideas of what our needs are, we try to make sure that we're getting those things that are most important at addressing public health and people's safe drinking water, as well as any emergencies that either come up or that we're aware of. Last year, when we had the Round Fire, the debris waiver that you approved was one of those kind of things that we had to quickly adjust to. So. And now Patty's going to get up with some more about challenges.
As you now see, after we prioritize and then we deal with our work planning, what is it we can reasonably do with what we've got, and what can we guess is going to come down the pike? These are some of the challenges we face. We have existing sites that we know about. Some have older permits that need to be updated. Some are okay with new development, which is occurring, particularly in the southern part of the region, which is something you can't always anticipate. Sometimes you can because you see EIR document on the street and you think, oh, that may be coming our way soon, but we're not sure. And what walks through the door? There are a lot of things we don't even know. Just they show up and ask for with their application or ask for work to be done. So we do our best. This all influences both our work planning as well as our target setting, which is not a perfect process, but you do the best you can with what you got. And then there's the unregulated. What are those sites that are out there that we don't even know about? The Crystal Guys is an example of that. That's in enforcement. It doesn't have a permit. We didn't have the staff resources to know it was there until it became a problem, and then we're dealing with it, of course. But, I've been asked how many other Crystal Geysers are out there. I'm not sure. How many abandoned mines are a problem that we don't know about? How many, So there's a lot of things out there that we don't know about. I do think we have a good handle in our region. I don't want to give the impression that we're not, for the most part, we know where all our problem sites are, and we're pretty good at that, but it's not a perfect system. Also, whenever new laws or policies are adopted, we've got to shift our priorities or reassess how we deal with those new laws or priorities. You saw some of them here. Pretty much every single one of those, we've got no additional resources for. actually none of those we have resources for. So we're going to have to try to fit that in with what we do already or rejigger our priorities. You know, for example, all the work we've been doing this year on climate workshops, that doesn't have a clear place in our budget. So we're going to have to do a little less of something else so that staff can spend time on that, for example. The board, we did an EJ report, as you recall, and we identified resources and things we want to do, but we can only do a very small piece of what those recommendations are because we don't have resources. So these are things we struggle with constantly, you know, as we change and shift our priorities. And we do our best to try to do some of these new emerging areas as best we can. But, you know, the local area, I'll just point out too, the salt nutrient management plans and local area management, local agency management plans for septic tanks, that's been a huge amount of workload and for us. And those are priorities, but we don't have existing extra funds to do them. So that means something else doesn't get done. So you have a handout on some priority general orders, plans, and strategies. That's a Bates stamp 1282 and 83. And I wanted to do this year to kind of let you know what are some efficiencies, or what are some things that we're trying to do to capture more issues in a collaborative way. M&A was an example of that you adopted yesterday. But in that packet are a couple others. Of course, the climate change work that we're in the plans that we'll be very busy with this year, holding workshops and getting input. At the end of the day, with some of the recommendations, you know, maybe we're going to get some efficiencies as well as potentially cover other areas that aren't regulated or can be regulated in a different manner. We're hoping to get some of the information out of there. The general order for federal lands is a big project that we're working on, and this is with the U.S. Forest Service to do a general order for our entire region for a range of activities. We actually had a good meeting with them earlier this week. They're actually devoting resources from the U.S. Forest Service to help us on this project. So it's going to be an awful lot of work, but I think, you know, we're going to see some efficiencies for us and for the Forest Service. Our plan is to expand this to other forest agencies like BLM, for example, down the road once we get some synergy and some framework on what this looks like. But what it would result in a perfect world is that things that we can't get to regulate, like the roads and some of the recreational things that we just don't have enough hours and days to get to, we could under this. And the Forest Service likes it because it gives them cover, because they feel like they're in compliance with the law for their project. So it could be a win-win, but it's a lot of work. Our stormwater strategy, to take what the State Board did in terms of their strategy and tailor it to our region. That's why I want to show that slide about our unique nature of our region. We have so many parts of the region that are not officially waters of the state, but we care about them. You visited, you know, some in some of the tours that we went down south. And how do we handle those? And how do we work with our local communities? So we want to have a more collaborative way of working with our local leaders to find some solutions. There's now money available for that. So I think it's a good time to have that dialogue with our local governments. And we've done a lot of that coordination up here in the Tahoe Basin. And I think lessons learned from that can maybe be used in other parts of our region. Long-term maintenance permits, you know, where LADWP, for example, for years has not gotten permits from us. As you know, we took an enforcement action on that. But they're working with us in a collaborative fashion to do a general order for their maintenance so they could just enroll them much simpler. So we're trying to do a lot of those. You see the write-up in some other ones that we're doing. Our dairy general order, our confined animal, is another one. Rather than deal with each of these dairies individually, we could deal with them as a group. So that's a big project we're working on. And so I listed some for your discussion later about what are some possibilities. Reassessment of our swamp priorities as our priorities may be changing with climate change. Also in this year's budget, we would get proposed for us to get three PYs. That's not really additional work, so I don't want to give impressions. We had contract employees, and that workload will be then shifted to civil service employees, just to give you a sense. Mitigation guidance. This came out of one of our last board meeting where Pete had mentioned, like M&A, would maybe we should have some sort of consistency and guidance how we deal with mitigation across our region. And then wetlands protection and restoration, this is part of a bigger project the State Board is doing with the other regions. And we've had some workshops already about how can we be more efficient in terms of encouraging wetlands restoration. So we've been trying to reach out to stakeholders, get some input on that. But you may have your own ideas of other things for us to consider. Now I'm going to get to the next steps, which is, I know that's a whole lot of information you just took in, but for us staff, we really would like to get a sense of, you know, what your thoughts are on those general orders and plans and strategies that you were looking at. And then talk a little bit about our unaddressed work next, about which ones are more of a priority than others, knowing that we're limited to what we can do. On that chart, you'll see a fiscal number on our unaddressed needs. And so, like, basin planning, for example, is 1.4 PYs. That means we only have 1.4 PYs. They have already been assigned work, you know, based on us prioritizing that this is what we can't get to.
You're talking about base stamp 12, 84, 85?
Yes, the chart. I apologize. And then we have another handout. So I can get the correct number here, the base stamp there. The workshops, which is base stamp 12-21 and 12-25. These are some of our workshops that are some of these action items, like you see the general orders would be about, but they're also informational workshops, like we did on some of the energy facilities in our region. But I think even the informational ones give the board an update and provide dialogue to give staff guidance on what the board's feelings are on some of these. So we're hoping to get your thoughts, and we're open to any dialogue on that. So I know that was a lot to take in.
Well, why don't we take this bullet point by bullet point? That might help us structure our conversation.
Yes.
Maybe just refresh our memory about which of the, with the chart, which of these are ones that you are working on general orders and plans?
On that chart, the ones that say are underway under that first heading, we're already working on those. It's not the chart. It's
12-82.
If you can look at 12-82.
And then on the chart, the P's are.
So, would be the 401 cert, the non-point source.
Oh, no, that's the unaddressed needs. The workshop is 12-82. General orders, plans, and strategies is 12-82. So if we were to follow this format, if you could put that one first, 12-82.
Okay. I'm having trouble crosswalking all of this information.
Yes, I know.
So I think the first question, does the board concur with 12-82, those are kind of just that's really that first question, is the things that are listed there, that's the first question. And then the second question on the which of the unaddressed work is of highest priority, the chart that looks like this on 12-84, 85. What we tried to do there with the P's on the far left side is identify the kinds of work that we've listed as unaddressed but might benefit from one of the things on 12-82.
So there are five that you're working on underway. There's the Federal Lands General Order, the Stormwater Strategy,
the climate change plan, long-term maintenance permits, and the confined animal general order. So how do these line up with the state water action plan? Those five.
You know, I haven't done a thorough analysis of it and how they match up. I think there's pieces of the climate action plan that would line up with it, the stormwater strategy.
And the maintenance permits ties into the action plan related to flood protection. Because the long-term maintenance permits are really working with L.A. Department of Water and Power and San Bernardino County Flood Control in particular, as well as there's been some talk about maybe going with the marinas for dredging, and there's some, in the paragraph here, we mentioned Lake Arrowhead and dredging aspects. So those permits help facilitate those entities getting permits to deal with maintenance activities that are both maybe, you know, post-El Nino events as well as pre-El Nino events. I mean, it allows them to do some work to accommodate flood flows or issues of landslides or sedimentation, those types of things.
And the confined animal one, as I recall, the action plan also talks about protecting our groundwater resources. That one would be protecting our groundwater resources.
Board members have questions about that? About the general orders or comments?
What if the question is, do we approve of the work that's being done? Yes. I think part of the conversation is in the next one, prioritizing.
Anyone have any questions?
I just have one question about these are all things that for which we don't actually have assigned money. Did I get that right?
This is the table of things we don't have money for, although...
These all have some funding?
Some funding.
Yeah,
adequate funding?
Well, the CHIP climate
is adequate.
Okay, this is my guess. On the federal lands order, we have funding for it, but that means staff are going to be voting this is a priority.
Yeah.
So let's look at that one. The long stormwater strategy, we have some funding, but not enough if we want to do a more robust look at this. For the climate change plan, we have some money, but nearly not enough to deal with it. We're doing the same thing as the federal lands. We're shifting from one priority of staff to another. The harder part with the climate change is once we have recommendations and we have to, let's say, revise permits or do something differently, that's a whole other discussion about funding for. Now you have to do something about it. How do you implement the plan? For long-term maintenance permits, we do have funding. Same thing as the first one. You're shifting priorities. For the confined animal general order, we do have funding for that, a bit small. But that's where we do have some funding.
Okay, so that helps us think about priorities to the extent that we know we have some money for all these.
Right.
We don't have to come up with nothing.
Right, and that's why Lori mentioned the chart on the far left, the little P. That's for plans. That just says, you know, some of our...
Which chart is that?
So if you now go to the unaddressed needs chart.
12-84.
12-84,
sorry.
And they were also given the big one.
You have a big one that Sue handed out. It might be a little bit easier to see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same chart, just easier to see.
There's space for you to write notes.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Bigger is better.
Yeah. So on the far left, you'll see that little P next to some of the unaddressed work. Some that lines up with some of these general orders and strategies.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to chip away, if you would, at some of the unaddressed work. You know, where, so that shows you where our unaddressed work lines up with some of these things. Is that, you know, that kind of was what we were trying to do. We were trying to be more efficient and do things we couldn't otherwise get to permit by permit and individual site by individual site. So to just give you a sense. Does it address everything? No. Does it make progress? Yes, it does. I will also...
One quick question.
Yes.
On this chart, under a non-point source of 1.9 CYs, you talk about national forests in Region 6. Of course, we have Region 5, the Humboldt-Cuyahoga.
Yeah.
Are you working with them?
Yes.
We do coordinate with Region 5 quite often. Yeah.
Actually, what I think what Don is trying to get to there, this is confusing nomenclature. We don't need to put in Region 6. That's us. We're Lahontan Water Board is Region 6 of the state boards, the way they number the 1 through 9. So when we're saying, wow, we're going to do annual outreach with all the force in our region, the Lahontan region, but Don's pointing out that we do have the Pacific Southwest region Forest Service Office out of Alejo and the Toyabe National Forest out of Ogden. That's where their headquarters are, is Ogden, although their supervisor's office is in Reno, Sparks. But they have a lot of forests in our region, the Humboldt Toyabe. So it is something that we definitely are doing, but it is a challenge because, as Patty said, the meeting yesterday was really more with the Pacific Southwest region folks out of Alejo. We've got their upper management very well engaged, and we have spoken to the folks at Sparks, you know, the forest supervisor there. We rarely ever talk to anybody in Ogden, but they would be the equivalent to the folks in Alejo. But we do, as we get this permit written, we will be engaging with them because we want to include them.
What Forest Service has committed to me by their resources that they'll be the liaison or the Kissinger, if you will, to all the other forests. Rather than us going forest by forest as we move on this general order, they stepped up, which I'm very appreciative of being the lead. And Jeff Marsali has been appointed by Barney Gant as that liaison. So he will be the one talking to the folks in Ogden and other places to coordinate with them. So I'm certainly grateful he's playing that role because it'll work better, you know, if he's at liaison.
Yeah, I've run into that issue also with BLM.
Yeah.
Yes. They have coyly agreed to also be the liaison to the other federal agencies, BLM and others.
Luckily, with BLM, we just have one. We're just dealing with
BLM.
So... BLM is organized state by state.
State by state. It's just, yeah, we just have the big districts of, like, Ridgecrest versus the one up in Susan. So, yeah, it's, yeah.
So the general order with the National Forest System that we're developing, is that going to be just with the Pacific Southwest region? It's going to include
all the ones in our region
as well?
Yeah.
All the way down south.
Cool.
Yeah. That's the plan.
And then I have a question, since I realize now why timber is broken out, like, ta-da, we have money for it, so it's not just shoved under non-point source pollution anymore. So what does non-point source pollution cover if timber's not in there?
Well,
it's broad.
It's very
broad. We get this 1.9 PYs, which isn't a lot, obviously,
no.
But this is one of those programs the feds give us a little more flexibility. They allow us to identify our priorities each year under the non-point source program. So what we have done traditionally, when we didn't have as much timber money, is we definitely were putting, like, Forest Service projects. We put Forest Service restoration projects under there. So in some ways, it helps us augment our limited funding in the Water Quality CERT program. The Forest Service will get a permit for dredge and fill to do a stream restoration project, but rather than tap into our measly little two positions in dredge and fill that are handling all the solar projects and all the subdivision work and all the big, big, big development, you know, this and that and the other, we can use some of the non-point source, that's federal funds, to fund some of our permitting work for restoration and like planning and you know, working with the Forest Service on their NEPA documents and writing those CEQA documents and things like that. So some of that money goes there, as well as our management of grants for like Truck River Watershed Council that gets a 319 grant under the federal grant program. We use some of that money to interact on project development, planning, watershed assessments. But we can use it for
To help answer
grazing,
the question,
yeah, we'll use it for grazing.
Your program fact sheet on 12-43 lists what some of the programs, grazing management, restoration projects on forest lands, implementation of actions in adopted TMDLs, protecting healthy watersheds, implementing timber waiver, to give you a sense, and the grants that Lori mentioned, give you a sense of what that works on.
Thank you. Any other questions about ongoing general permits or underway?
or new ideas you
or
may
or under consideration.
Yeah, under consideration.
Well, we haven't really gotten to that yet, so I was just trying to see if we could
get things.
Is that all? Do those five sound like things to continue?
Or can we think of more?
Well, I'm sure we can think of more, but do we give the blessing to these five?
As long as we have adequate resources, this looks like a very worthwhile group.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. So then, should we then go to the under consideration ones, or should we talk about? I'm not quite sure how to.
I think here are the ones under consideration. It's easier to see.
Okay, but now you switch to a different slide. I was going to try to work through that other slide.
Okay.
Yeah. So which is the next question is which of the unaddressed work is highest priority, and where would you point us to look to focus our thinking on to answer that question? Give us a date stamp. We're talking about the chart now?
12-83.
Okay, so now we're talking about this lovely chart.
No, actually, it's 1283.
Okay, go on.
If you want to talk about general orders.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. But it's like, okay, how do we, like.
But the second question is really more around if there's, is really, we're trying to identify, is there anything on our list of unaddressed work, which would include also these things were under consideration,
right,
which are the three bullets on 12-83. Any of those items, do you see any of those that jump out at you as like, well, I'd like to see some way we could make some progress on that this next year? That's really what we're looking for. It's like, is there something that pops out that's like, that looks really important, and I want to know that you're looking at that? As well as the next bullet about, are there anything else that we missed?
Right. Well, let's start with one. So when you say the core regulatory program, what's the crosswalk for us in terms of the headings on this chart?
I will tell you in a second. So if I read them off, just so you, if you want to check off on your, they are as follows. It's the 401 cert program. It's our enforcement program. It's our land disposal program. Our NPDES program. Our non-point source. Our site cleanup.
It's not everything.
Stormwater. Timber harvest. And waste discharge to land. Those are what we talk about when we have core regulatory.
Okay, so of those, we have already given our blessing to the stormwater, correct?
Yes.
The federal lands. So 401 cert is not included in
kind of the maintenance permit one, actually.
Yeah. So
that's under long-term maintenance?
Yes.
Okay. Enforcement. So the enforcement is not included in the ones that the five that we've already discussed. Land disposal, is that under any of the ones that we have discussed?
No.
Okay. NPDES.
No.
Not really. Non-point source.
Yes.
The forest.
That's under forest.
Remember, that would cover grazing, so you would cover forest and grazing.
It would cover, include grazing?
Yes, it would.
Okay. Site cleanup programs?
No.
Not really. Stormwater, yes, we've got that. Timber harvest is under. And waste discharge to land?
Is the dairies.
Well, that's dairies, but there's a lot else under waste discharge land besides
it's a
dairies.
Sliver of that.
It'll be like
dairies
climate.
Is a piece.
I mean, dairies is one of those. I'm just connecting it to the general orders climate strategy.
Right, but we don't have any general orders on the 114 individual WDRs that can be reviewed.
Right.
Okay. 15 reclamation WDRs that need to be reviewed, et cetera, et cetera.
Although there is a general permit the State Board has now on water recycling, so it already exists, which is helpful.
Okay. That's generally not...
And so that's one of the ones that's just so difficult to kind of crosswalk on, but there is some statewide issue.
Yeah, there are some.
And then our climate change effort, like if we're going to deal with pump stations or infrastructure protection, that might be something.
Yeah, Ward raises a good point. There are some State Board general orders that also have efficiencies, like the recycling one's a very important one. So it's not just that we, the regional boards, have to do some of these efforts. The State Board really has been stepping up doing a lot of these as well.
Okay, so of the ones that are under consideration, swamp is not one of the things that you have identified as being part of the core regulatory program.
Right.
Correct.
Mitigation guidance?
That would be with the wetlands, primarily with the 401
yeah.
program.
Under 401. And wetlands protection restoration would be also under 401. So why... what is the justification for working on swamp when it's not part of the core regulatory program?
It is still a statutory program. It's a very important program to our region. As you know, other regions can glean information about surface waters from permits, from NGO monitoring, other things, as well as their own monitoring. With our region so vast, swamp is the only game in town, meaning if we want to know about the health of our waters, that's our only tool. It's a very important program for our region. It's underpinning support our regulatory efforts. You know, for example, that's where we sometimes find problems. Now we hand it over to the regulatory side, like at the Bishop Creek example, which came to be from monitoring. Also, we're going to be getting 3 PYs for civil service. With climate change and other things, it's time to maybe revisit the swamp program, see how we can make it more efficient and how it will mesh with climate change. So it's not core regulatory, but that's not to say it isn't important. It's a very important program.
So for the board members who have to leave soon, you have questions or comments you'd like to make, the floor is yours.
I think I'd like to see the swamp program as a priority and we haven't touched on the organizational improvement, but that may fit into some of the ideas the chair has. So we may want to think about making that a priority as well as time and money permits.
That's not part of developing general orders, but that's it's work on our
yeah.
on
If the subject is prioritizing the unaddressed work, I have comments. Obviously, I'm most concerned with protections to human health. And so I would like to place a high priority on items such as waste discharge to land, underground storage, and land disposal.
So, did you want to, Mr. Sandel, did you want to respond?
No.
Okay, you had a look on your
face. No, I was thinking about something.
Oh, okay. I think both board members Cox and Dias raised good points, and so I was looking at some of those same programs and thinking that maybe those might be areas where workshops, some of them aren't on this list as workshops in development. So I was thinking that maybe things like land disposal, waste discharge to land, some of these things are ones that it would be helpful to the board to have a workshop on those to
understand.
So we understand better what those programs are trying to accomplish, and we can have a discussion as a group about how we can
deal with those.
Yeah. yeah, see if there's ways that we can kind of create efficiencies in those programs. Yeah.
It's efficient.
And I'm not identifying which rickshaws that then get thrown off the list. but I think that's a good place to start, to think about some of these core regulatory programs that aren't being currently addressed under the general orders that are underway, to think about having workshops on that.
One of the workshops that is scheduled for this next fiscal year is the on-site wastewater. The board's going to be seeing these local air agency management plans for septic systems, and we're trying to link those to some of the results of our salt nutrient management plans efforts. So those things start to deal with our waste discharge to land program more specifically, but it'll give you some sense of, you know, what we look at in terms of where nitrates are high and that sort of thing in the groundwater. And then maybe we can kind of, you know, build off of that to do a broader program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are there other priorities? I mean, this is kind of overwhelming.
I know it is overwhelming. It doesn't mean that throughout the year, as you look at this, you could just tell Lori and I individually, hey, I looked at it, I thought about it a bit more, and really, you know, I want to know a bit more about this one. Don't feel like this is your only place to give input and advice on this process.
I'm not sure if this is the right time, but dealing with individual priorities, deciding who goes first, as we see, it's hard. But I'm concerned about a comment that I heard yesterday about that we were getting in trouble with somebody at the state board for shifting priorities, which no longer then matched our projections for the year for tasks that we were going to accomplish. I was concerned that the threats that we would have funding withheld or any kind of, you know, soft work disciplinary action that was mentioned. I couldn't believe that somebody actually said that, but it made me think, do we have anything in place to be able to actually defend what we've done and why?
Yeah.
A log or something where all these things are all in one place. You can just say, look, you know, this here and that there, and we had this many PYs committed, this many PYs available. You could make an index, you know, like we have 60% of our PYs, you know, we have funding for 60% of our PYs that were to accomplish, you know, that could be a moving number.
Right.
So some tools like that you could whip out to state board people and say, look, you know, you do it. You know, tell us how we can do this better.
I think I could help you with that. We did have a good discussion with the state board staff about how could we better tell our story, if you will. I'll give you the example that, you know, we had 6 targets to inspect dairies. We did 3 of the 6, so we got a nice big red dot for not inspecting. And the reason we did that, because we shifted our resources doing that Hinckley nitrate investigation to protect the public. And that was a pretty rapid thing. We had to turn around in the summer when the MCL came out. We believe that was a higher priority, protect public health, but it meant we didn't meet our targets. We got a big red dot. And that is, I will admit, frustrating the staff, because in my opinion, that's protecting public health, and that is a higher priority than these inspections, but it is what it is. So Lori and I are continually communicating, and we're frustrated. It's not just us, it's all the regions. But, you know, the state board was very staff, very receptive to our concerns, and, you know, we're going to probably explain. So when you see a red dot, you could hit a link, and we could do a little more explaining about why we chose not to do the 3 inspections and instead protect the Hinckley community and get them bottled water. So, you know, that's what we could do. The other thing is we could add some of the program fact sheets, which I think is important to do, because that does tell the story of what a target cannot tell you, you know. It just tells you how many permits, how many inspections. It doesn't tell you the flavor or the texture or you know, what we really do. So we're going to start attaching our program fact sheets to that. It's not a perfect system, but, you know, the targets serve a purpose, too, because the dischargers who pay the fees kind of want to know, hey, where's my money going? What are you people doing out there? So, I mean, it's a good tool as well.
I think there's no question that having a high altitude view of how things are going is useful, but as you say, you can add details so that people decide to drill down into why something is the way it is, there'll be something there to look at.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that, I mean, staff is in a difficult place because you're getting feedback from all different angles, and sometimes we've made, you know, the regional board has said during triennial review, well, this has been on the list and it's above the line, but really it's a paper, it's desk work, this project, and completing this project doesn't do anything to protect drinking water or protect the water quality of our region, and so we think something else is more important. But then, you know, when we made that decision, we didn't understand that, you know, that would mean the staff would get a red dot from the state board or from EPA for not having done this paperwork project. And, you know, when we have good reasons for shifting priorities around, that should be documented, and also that should carry some weight with the state board and EPA, it seems to me. I mean, you know, and it seems like if they were in our seats and having to choose between actually protecting water quality and people's drinking water versus something that's a paper pushing project, that they would have come to it's a rational decision that we made, and we should not be dinged for having made that decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's an evolving process. You know, I think the state board staff are trying to make this, it's not, you know, the targets can't be perfect for everything. Like, for example, the inspections you saw, we went over, but you don't get credit for going over. You get told you should manage your inspections better. But if you go a little under, it's counted against. So we, even though Lori said we did so many inspections, we actually were technically under our inspection limit because of the CAFO and a few of the little ones.
Right.
You know, but for example, you know, with in construction increasing, and as Lori said, El Nino and some other stuff, we did more inspections because we anticipated more problems. You know, we were asked to make sure. You know, you're buttoned up for El Nino, that nothing goes south, so that's why you see, you know, us going over mm-hmm. as an example. So we'll just have to explain that.
I mean, you know, the headings on our chart, I think, are good headings. You know, we say our priorities are protecting human health and aquatic life, protecting aquatic resources and surface water quality, protecting disadvantaged communities, working on anticipating climate change and the effects that might have, complying with the state water action plan, and then required actions. And some of the things that that we have on our to-do list aren't checked in any of those boxes under any of those headings. So, you know, I think the regional board made a rational decision that some of those things that didn't meet any of those criteria were lower priorities, but now it's like, oh, well, we were supposed to do it, so now we're in trouble for not having done it. So, I don't know. I mean, we're trying to allocate limited resources to a lot of competing priorities, and it's a big challenge. I'm hopeful that, and it's too bad that Board Member Cox has left already, because I think that this is something that this Organizational Performance Subcommittee can be thinking about, is how we tell our story better, how we justify mid-course corrections, all these kinds of things.
Because we're going to guess in April what we're going to be doing from July to July of next year. So.
Yeah. We don't know how many forest fires are going to be this summer. We don't know, you know.
Which permits are going to walk through the door.
But yeah.
But you do the best you can with what you got. You know, it is what it is. I mean, the targets do serve a purpose, too, to give people a sense and give us something, a goal to move towards. So, valuable.
Does anybody have any specific comments on the workshop list? That's base stamp 12/21-23.
Remember, that's also informational. So if the board, you know, wants to learn more about a particular area, you know, I thought the energy one was very informative, for example.
Yeah.
There might be others that you think that you've liked. I really would like to know a little bit more about this issue. Think about it that way, too.
I'll just say that I'm really glad that we're planning to do a workshop on our other outstanding natural resource water.
Uh-huh.
We've been paying a lot of attention to one of our outstanding natural resource waters. We still need to pay attention to that one, but it's good that we also pay attention to Mono Lake from time to time.
Yes.
I was excited to see that we have a plan for a workshop on flow requirements and water quality in 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's something that we address now and again, but it's kind of hard because we've always felt that we're quite sure of our authority.
Yeah, so we'll have the State Board Water Rights staff come help us with that presentation as well, and they've offered to do so. And as you recall, I'm trying to put above the line the Squaw Creek. So, you know, having a foundation of a workshop before you work on this is important. Same as Lori mentioned about the lamps, you know, like we did the salt and nutrient management plans. It's really good to have a foundation of what we want to do and what our priorities are before these individual plans come, you know, on your doorstep.
Do you have any?
No.
Yeah, and then just my general comment that workshops related to aspects of the core regulatory program that are works in progress, and also things where you have keys in this column here that may or may not be part of the core regulatory program. And some of these, I realize, are kind of embedded in that, or, you know, parts of these bigger issues. Not quite sure what the best way to handle it is, but.
Well, I think workshops, we really need to get involved in that.
Yeah.
Look at land disposal, waste tube storage, underground storage. At a county level, I deal with that quite a bit. And revive in mind. I worked at the Water Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I testified to it about 2 years.
Anything else on this item, item number 12?
I guess in a lighter note, perhaps in 2017, Leviathan Mine preparing for summer demonstration and interim mine treatment that would practically include a picnic.
Just outside the fence.
Okay. So thank you very much to everyone, the staff, for pulling all this information together. And it's a struggle for us every year to figure out how to give you useful feedback. I hope we've been helpful this year.
Yeah, and I thank the board for their patience. It's a lot to take in. It's the complexity of our funds, the complexity of our programs, to how to synthesize it all. You know. So thank you.
Okay, continuing to improvise this board meeting, people have joined us since we started.